Praise God. The presence of God is in this place. Can you see a big amen? Came a very special time. It's not only a time for us to come together, but, you know, when we come together, there is a special blessing because you have taken an effort to come over. It's approximately 1.5 hours by ferry. Every time when we take an effort to do something, God takes an extra effort to bless us. How many of you believe that? Say a big amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We had a wonderful start last night. How many of you were there last night? Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you expect God to do greater things today and in the next few days? Put up your hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for your mighty presence in this place. We thank you, dear Lord. Already we are feeling your glory intensifying among us. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that as we listen to your word today, give us the ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, O God. Give us the eyes to see what we need to see tonight, O God. We thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 Turn with me to the Bible, please, for a little while tonight, to the book of Genesis chapter 15. I want to share with you something that was burning in my heart as I was preparing this afternoon. And you are going to notice, at least for a little while, that it's a very strange topic, but I want to encourage you to be very patient and we'll see what God has to show to us. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to verse 5, the Bible says, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid. Abram, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward.' But Abram say, 'O Lord, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless, and the heirs of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' Then Abram say, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir.' And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heirs, but the one who shall come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now towards the heavens and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendant be.'" Chapter 16, verse 16 to chapter 17, verse 3. "And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. When Abram was 99 years old, that the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am the Almighty God. Wait before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly.' Then Abram fell on his face and talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations.'" I want to take a few minutes tonight to preach on a subject entitled "The Silence of God." The silence of God. This will come across as a very strange topic to many people, especially when you know people like P. Dom and myself, we are very prophetically inclined, and God has anointed us to bring prophetic words around the world. In fact, when this message came to me this afternoon, I was wondering what it is all about. The silence of God. You see, when you talk about silence, it is something that is very unfamiliar to us because the church is anything but quiet. The church is anything but silence. You hear God's word. God speaks to us through his word. Can you see a big amen? But also those who appreciate and move in the Holy Spirit give, the Lord speak to us prophetically. During worship, you know, we hear the song of the Lord and we begin to sing a prophetic song unto God. But there is a prophetic dimension in the silence of God. Of the church and Christian today is the inability to handle our humanness. And because of the humanness and the fleshliness of Abraham, the Bible says he tried to help God. And of course, his wife didn't help him as well. The wife said, "Why don't I offer to you my mate?" So he slept with Hagar, and out of that, you know, came Ishmael. In fact, when I go to heaven in the days to come, all right, one of the first things I'm going to ask Abraham is this: "Abraham, what's wrong with you? All because of you, the price of petrol goes around the world, you know. All right, all because of you, the Middle East today are having problem, you know. You didn't catch a joke, never mind. My wife called me today and said, Sik Liang, be very nice to the people. She said, don't be too stern, all right, okay. So are you with me? So I'm going to ask Abraham that question. He just could not wait for God. And after he slept with Haggai and Ishmael was born, the Bible says in chapter 16, verse 16, he was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael. And in chapter 17, verse 1, he was 99 years old. There was 13 years of silence. 13 years of silence. 13 years. In chapter 15, when God spoke to him, suddenly there was no activities at all. And very often when we don't hear words spoken to us, when God don't seem to prophesy to us, when we come to church, we hear pastors preaching, and then it doesn't seem to make sense to us. How many of you know that it can happen? You mean you have never experienced that before? You come for service where great preaching, but it doesn't make sense at all. How many of you have experienced that? Well, pastor, you got a great church. They all understand all the time. All the time. I must come and learn from you, man. Oh, they're all like, okay, never mind. They all love us. Okay. Now, we all go through times like this. We read the Bible. Sometimes the Bible will just jump out like a rhema to impact our life. And sometimes it goes from one side of the ear and out the other side, you know. So there was total silence. And it was during that time of silence that Abraham began to get into trouble. We need to interpret the silence of God properly. Number one, you begin to realize the silence of God should not be confused with inactivities. It does not mean that God has forgotten what He said. Now, this is especially true for prophetic people. We like to hear God and we like to hear prophecy. We like to hear good preaching. We believe in the Holy Spirit speaking to us, you know. But the fact of the matter is, there are times in your life that no matter how anointed your pastor may be, you will go to a time, if God is not speaking to you anymore. You will go to a time in your Christian life, except everything is the same as usual, the same old, same old, same old. It's a time like this you need to understand that God is still actively at work in your life. Can you see a big amen? Amen. He went and slept with Haggai and then gave birth to Ishmael. And then suddenly God turned up in chapter 17 and began to speak to him. The silence of God does not mean the inactivity of God. The silence of God, number two, does not mean that God is happy with us either. Now, this is a very important point. Some people say silence is consent. Well, I want you to know, the truth is we all go through those periods of time of silence. But just because God does not convict you, just because you do not have a tangible touch of God upon you in a service or at an altar call, just because there was no word of knowledge or prophecy talking about you, it really does not mean God is pleased with God. God was silent even though Abraham slept with Hagar. That's the frightening part. Now we wish that God will remind us all the time. We wish that God will convict us all the time. But the truth of the matter is, we need to remember what God had already said. We need to remember God's promises. We need to remember those mountaintop experiences that we have in our personal time with God, where God speaks to us. We need to remember those prophetic words. How many of you remember those prophetic words that God has spoken over your life? And we need to remember them, because when we go through the time of the silence of God, and there don't seem to be any activity at all in the realm of the Spirit, it is those remembrance and the remembrance of those words and prophetic word that is going to keep us straight in that narrow way and to do God's will. The silence of God does not mean that God is happy with us. How can we properly discern? How can we properly understand the silence of God? I want to quickly turn your attention to three particular keys to help us to discern and to interpret God's silence. Number one, do not confuse God's silence with God's support. Do not confuse God's silence with God's support. You know, one of the favorite words that we hear in the church, and your pastor has been pastoring you many years, Pastor Dom, myself, and some of you maybe as well, you know, one of the favorite words in the church today that people like to use is, I am at peace with myself. Why do you do that? I'm at peace with myself. Why do you make that decision? I feel good about myself. Basically, what we are saying is, my soul is silent. You see, we must not confuse the silence of our own soul and our emotion with the silence of God. You see, very often the silence of our soul could be a time where the monster is nurtured inside us. Some people are quiet, but they are full of anger. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's a time where that part of you, that monster inside of you, is being nurtured. Very often the time of silence in our soul is the time where our emotion and conscience is actually dead. Somebody said to me, my conscience is clear, but I say, yeah, your conscience is dead. It's very, very thin line, you know. So just in case you are saying to yourself, my conscience is clear, are you sure it's not dead? Just in case you think that your heart and your emotion is very, very peaceful with what you are doing, are you sure it's not because underlying it is a sipping of anger and disappointment just getting ready to explode? You're actually nurturing that monster called anger and bitterness inside of you. I know of people who are talkative, who are expressive, and suddenly they go through a time of silence and they don't talk a lot, you know. And then, lo and behold, one day they suddenly explode. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because during that time of silence, you know, they are actually nurturing and feeding that anger and that disappointment and discouragement, that rebellion, instead of dealing with it. Number one, do not confuse God's silence with God's support. It also could mean, the silence of your soul could also mean that you have surrendered your conviction. In other words, you have come to a place in your Christian life where to you it's impossible to live that kind of a Christian life in the marketplace today. It's impossible to have that kind of a standard of Christian living today. You have come to a place where your conscience have already surrendered itself. God's silence is also not a time where God surrendered to our desire. Abraham was such a man. The Bible says he wanted to have an heir. He wanted to have an heir for his family. But his desire was different from God's desire. He wanted to have heir for his house. But God wanted to have more than an heir. God wanted to have an entire generation of multitudes. You see, our desire do not necessarily sing with God's desire. It's just like, you know, Hannah in the Old Testament, she wanted to have a son, but God wanted to have a prophet. And until unless she came to that place where she was ready to surrender the firstborn to God, she prayed to God, and for years God did not answer her prayer. And then one day, her prayer changed. She came to a place and said, God, if you were to give me a son, and I will give the son to you, that son to you. And you can do whatever you want with that son. And the moment she prayed that prayer, the moment her desire is in line with God's desire, Samuel was born. Israel had a prophet. And after that, God gave her a lot more children. You see, our desire may not necessarily be in line with God's desire. So when God is silent, it does not mean that God supported all our desire. Are you see with me? Say a big amen. When God promised to Abraham, I will give you children. His idea is, when I give you children, I want your children to be so blessed that the world will be blessed. But Abraham could only think about himself. I want to be blessed. I want to make sure somebody carries on the legacy of my own home, a legacy of my own family. The Wong family, the Lim family, the Yo family, or whatever family. I went through a time in my own life and ministry where I went through that time of silence. God did not speak to me for months. And for a person that is prophetic like me, it's like, you know, a death sentence. When you don't hear God at all, you know. I don't remember a day where I struggled to hear God, but it was a matter of 2-3 months. Everything silent, silent. Everything was gone. When I read the Bible, it was so dry. When I praise, exceed my prayer, hit the wall, and then bounce back. How many of you have experienced that before? It was so bad. It was so painful. But it was during the time of silence, God spoke to me and said, "You did not have my desire." I told the Lord, "I've labored for 30 years, at that time 20-odd years, to pioneer a church. What do you mean? I do not love your church at all. I do not love you and the work of God at all." Then he spoke to me and said, "You wanted to build the church, but I want to build the kingdom. I wanted to build the kingdom." You see, when we first started our church, it was very small. For the first 15, 18 years, I spent probably 99.9% of my time in that church. All my energy, all my prayers are all theirs. You know, the importance of focus, the importance of vision. But I could not break through after that until I came to a place to realize that I have to share my God-given gift to the nations of the world. Because God's idea is the kingdom, not only metro. Kingdom. Not only your church, but other churches as well. Do not confuse God's silence with God's support. And everybody is with me. Say, obey, amen. Amen. By now, some of you will be very concerned. Is God supportive of what I am doing? If you are feeling that, I am doing well. Are you still with me? Number two, how do you discern and understand the silence of God? Number two, focus on destiny instead of circumstances. Genesis 21, verse 17 and 18, please. Focus on destiny instead of circumstances. 17, and God heard a voice of the young lad, and the angels of the Lord called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What is troubling you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the young boy where he is. Arise, lift up the young boy and hold him with your hands, so I will make him a great nation." Focus on destiny instead of circumstances. Ishmael had a future, but Ishmael was not part of God's divine destiny. When Ishmael was born, God told Hagar very clearly, "I will protect this young boy, and this young boy is going to be a great nation." This young boy was the father of the Arab race today. This young boy was one of the basic reasons why we have the Middle East crisis today. You see, he has a great potential, he has a great future, but he was not part of God's divine destiny. Isaac was part of God's divine destiny. What is divine destiny? Divine destiny means divine design. Amen. You see, a lot of us design our own life rather than allowing God to design our life. A lot of us look at the other person down the road and say, "I like that kind of a lifestyle, so I will design my life according to that lifestyle. Hey, I liked the way he built out his family, so I will design my family around the same style, same approach. I like that career. I liked the place where he works, so I am going to work towards working in that direction of career. I will work towards working there one day." We have our own plan, our own design, and it has great future, but it is not divine destiny. You can be great and not be in divine destiny. But if you are in divine design and destiny, you find that God will not only bless you, God will make you a blessing, and God will not only protect you, God will ensure that you are provided for and you will impact the world all the days of your life. Can you say a big hallelujah? Solomon Porch is to be in God's divine destiny. From the little I know of your pastor talking with him and through Pastor Dom, your pastor's desire is to make sure this church is designed by God. That this church is not only designed by looking at somebody else's church. Some of you come from other churches, other nation, other tradition, and you are in Solomon Porch today. And if you are going to be part of this work of God, if you are going to be blessed by this church, then it is incumbent upon you to humble yourself and pray together with the pastor and find out God's design for Solomon Porch. and work with the church. Can you see a hallelujah? If a church here like to sing a lot and you come from a tradition where you don't like to sing, you know what? It's simple. Sing a lot. Hallelujah. Don't come here and be a sour prune. Are you still with me? I hope you love me more after this. I don't know how to say it in any other way. Straight off the cuff. Focus on destiny instead of circumstances. We must train ourselves to go beyond coping with all our daily problems and challenges. We have to come to a place to seek God and pray and ask God for His design. That's it. That's why I like your team. To pray. To know Him. It's so easy to pick up a Christian book. I'm not against book. You should read a Christian book. But you better find God in those books for you. Can you see a hallelujah? Find God. If you ever employ those teaching in those Christian books, you better be able to see a thus saith the Lord to it. This is God's design for my life. Because when you are living in divine destiny, God will not only bless you, God will protect you, and God will make sure that you and your generation to come will continue to be blessed. Can you say a big hallelujah? You know, the tragedy about Ishmael is the fact that Ishmael did give a relief to Abraham's pressure, but it was a temporal relief. Can you imagine him going everywhere and say, I'm going to have a child. And every time, every year down the road, he celebrates his birthday and he's getting older and older. And everybody is looking at him and his wife. No children yet. So the idea of Ishmael came along the way. And when Ishmael was born, there was relief. But temporal relief. Say with me, temporal. Say it again, temporal. Well, if you just want temporal relief, then don't look for divine designs. If you want answers, if you want breakthrough in your life, if you want answers to change your life completely, if you want to ensure God's blessing upon your life today and in the days to come, then you must come to a place to seek God and to hear from God. What is God saying to you, your family, your careers? And you must go and fast, you're going to pray, you must go and read the Bible and seek out God's plan. You're going to find out what God wants you to do rather than any other Hong Konger will do today. Can you see a big hallelujah? You have to decide not to be the children of circumstances, but the children of destiny. Focus on divine destiny instead of focusing just on circumstances. Recently, I was reading a magazine about church growth. I would say, I don't want to mention the nation. If I mention it, you may guess where it is. They say one of the reasons why in that particular nation churches are growing big is because those churches preach things that are practical, and which I think is absolutely important. You cannot build a church if the Word of God is not practical. But then he went on to say, at the same time, although the churches are big, they are powerless. The level of sin and divorce in those churches is as high and even sometimes slightly higher than those who are non-believers. The propensity to sin and the manifestation of bondage in the life of those people in church, as sincere as they are, is as bad as those who don't come into the church. The church was very big, but the church do not have power. And then the commentator went on to say, one of the reasons is because the church have become so pragmatic. Do the practical thing. God's word and God's will is not necessarily pragmatic. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Can you see a big hallelujah? Sometimes God's will and God's way are so far out, are so demanding, are so impractical, but they are the keys to happiness. They are the keys to breakthrough. They are the keys to healing. They are the keys to generational blessing. That's why we must go beyond wanting to hear something practical, something relevant. I always tell my church the word relevance is overrated. The concept of relevant is overrated in the church today. The church today have got to be more than relevant. The church today have got to be divine. Hallelujah. God to be divine. People need to be able to encounter God. They need to be able to hear something that is out of the world. And very often it's so out of the world that those who do not want it will think that we are foolish people. But the Bible says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. No. Do not only seek after and form and mold your life after circumstances and pressure. Seek after divine designs and divine destiny. Can you see a big amen? Hallelujah. Number three, as you come to a close, I want to very quickly share with you that the third way and the third keys to understand the silence of God is to develop a wholesome and wholehearted devotion towards God. Wholesome and wholehearted devotion towards God. Chapter 17, verse 1, you have just read just now. The Bible says Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Now, God has been speaking to Abram all the while, right? It was God who called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. It was God who intervened in his life and called that man out of the land of idolatry. In the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1, come out from among your people. Come out from your country and I will make you a great nation. God was already speaking to him. But what is the significance of chapter 17? When God appeared to him again, you notice after chapter 17, Israel was being formed. After chapter 17, you find that Isaac was born. After chapter 17, the fulfillment of God's plan for his life was birthed. What happened? In other words, God was telling Abram, I want you to be very aware of my presence in your lives. Walk before me. Understand that I am around you. Understand that I hear every decision you make. Understand I know your heart's desire. Your wife may not know it, I know it. Understand that you can bluff everyone, but you cannot bluff me. Understand that I know your agenda, even though you clothe it and you try to massage all the good things around it to make it look good and beautiful. I know exactly what the intent of the heart is. Walk before me, walk with the realization of my presence. In my own spiritual experience, I find that just before every breakthrough in my life and even in our church, we go through a season where we are hypersensitive, you know, towards God's presence. Hypersensitive. Suddenly we are very aware, very conscious of God. Whatever decision we make, the whole idea of God's impression and God's attitude and God's input is there. We walk softly before God. Develop a wholesome and wholehearted devotion towards God. But you see, you cannot have a wholehearted devotion if you are not wholesome. That's a great key there. It's very difficult to have a wholehearted devotion towards God if you do not have a wholesome heart. And that's where I want to end today. God spoke to him very clearly and said, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. You see, Abraham, just in case you want to laugh at him, I want you to know, I have not known of anyone in the world, believe me, I know quite a number of people, I have not known of anyone in the world who had the kind of faith that Abraham had. Just in case you think that he is really a joker, you know, he can't keep his zip down and he just can't wait, you know, and create a crisis that we have. So just in case you think of it that way, repent. I think he's better than most people that we know today. His faith, his obedience. But in spite of his ability to believe God, God said he believed and he was counted as righteous. In spite of the fact that he believed God, he acted contrary to what he believed. And isn't it through one of the reasons why we act contrary to what we believe? It's not because we have not heard what pastor preach. It's not because we have not learned the word of God. But somehow there is a weakness. There is a certain kind of weakness in our soul that fracture our ability to stand up for the truth. That's why God say, I am the Almighty God. The word Almighty God is the word El Shaddai. El Shaddai. I begin to discover tonight, this evening, that the word El Shaddai in the Hebrew word, there are many different meanings to it, but the most accurate meaning to the word El Shaddai is the breasted one. God here is not only seen as a great almighty God, Elohim, who created the world. He is seen like a breasted one, a person that can nurture a child with his breast. Milt, nurture God is the breasted one, El Shaddai. You see, if we are going to have a wholesome walk with God and a wholehearted walk with God, we need to be wholesome. Can you say a bit? Hallelujah. And there is nothing more wholesome than breastfeeding. And all the mothers say amen. I hear some guys say that too. How do you know, man? Yeah. It's true. We need to come to a place in our own Christian life to allow God to nurture us, heal us, allow God to deal with our lives and strengthen the areas of our life that need strengthening. Healers of our life, areas of our life that need healing. Deal with the background of our lives. Deal, you know, sometime when we get saved and we carry all the baggages along with us. All right, all our pain, all our hurts, all our background, and we don't even have a chance to deal with it. You know why? We pile upon our pain with one layer of teaching after another layer, one camp after another, one convention after another, one prophecy after another. Believe me, I pastored the same church for 30 years. I've seen some of my best people fracture and get destroyed near to the finishing line. Why? Because not because they are not committed, not because they don't believe in God's word, but there was not enough ministry to them as a person. They experience and they see God as the Almighty God. They experience the power of God. But when the crunch came, they could not take it because those weaknesses began to surface. If you are going to have a wholehearted worship and walk with God, you need to be wholesome. And for that to happen, you need to experience El Shaddai, the breasted one. You need, in other words, to experience the love of God upon your life, number one. You know, some of us guys are so macho, are I don't want to use the word. Okay, let me find another word. We're so independent, we think, you know, shedding tears are only for the ladies and the girls. I remember there are guys in my church who say to me, you know, Pastor, leave the difficult thing to us. Let us do the difficult things, you know. A lot of guys in my church were like that last time. When we first started the church, our church was in an area that is 99.9% Muslim. Our church was a church that was burned 2 years ago. That came out in a paper. That was a church. And then there were very few non-Muslim there. And it is right in the middle of a military cooperative. All right, you will know that they are all soldiers because when you wake up early in the morning, you walk out of your house and you look at all the dustbin, they are all the same. The same dustbin, you know. The military truck will come and collect all the generals, colonels, they all stay along there. That particular township was created for the military. And many of these guys are great guys, you know, disciplined. And the moment they become Christian, they are disciplined. I like to work with them. When you ask them to do something, they don't ask you why or what. You know, they do it, you know. You understand what I'm saying? Every pastor loves that. You know, I love that too, you know. But along the way, I begin to see some of them buckling. Not being able to rise beyond the level that God wants them to rise, you know. Because as a soldier, they have been so disciplined They've been so focused, they did not have enough time to deal and effort taken to deal with the inner recesses of their hearts and mind. To them is discipline and responsibility. But you see, ministry and power must flow out of wholesome nests. Can you say a big hallelujah? It must flow out of wholesomeness. I think it is of great significance that the greatest revelation of God for Abraham before he actually gave birth to Isaac was a revelation of Jehovah El Shaddai, the Blessed One. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians and we are going to pray. Chapter 2. I don't want to take too much time tonight, but we're going to spend more time praying. How many of you know God's presence is here? Say a big amen. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. Just in case some of you are saying, oh, what, that is the Old Testament. Let's look at the words of Paul. Paul saying, verse 7. But we were gentle among you. Paul was anything but gentle, right? He was hard, harsh. Okay, but here, you see the other side of Paul. But we were gentle among you like a nursing mother. Paul, a nursing mother? Hiya. Hey, this is what he said. As a nursing mother cherishes her own children, and so affectionately, emotional word, longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own life, because you had become dear to us. All these words are emotionally laden kind of a words, you know. Words of a soul, nursing mother, giving life, cherishing. Paul understood very clearly that for the church to be strong, the church must have more than a vision, must have more power. The church must be wholesome, amen. And if the church is going to be wholesome, the church needs to experience God's nurturing. Hallelujah. The church needs to allow God to touch their lives. I encourage you tonight, whatever is happening in your life. In fact, even right now as I'm speaking, some of you are suddenly realizing that there are issues in your own life, you know, hurts or challenges in your own life that you have covered up through the years, and God is revealing it to you right now. I encourage you to completely open your heart and say, God, nurture me. God, strengthen me. Because I submit to you, the issue for a lot of Christians today is not our faith. We come to church every Sunday. We hear God's word. It's not our desire. It is because for some reason, we are not able to handle it. We buckle. Amen. And very often we buckle because of the lack of wholesomeness in our own hearts and lives. What has it to do with the silence of God? It has everything to do with the silence of God. Because it is during the time of the silence of God that you need to be most wholesome. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It is when, you know, nothing seems to be happening. It is when God's word does not seem to be inspiring. It is when God doesn't seem to be touching you. That is the time in which you have got to be very confident, very strong in yourself. I've not talked to my daughter for nearly 2 weeks. I was very busy. So yesterday in the hotel, I Skype her. I said, hey, Amelia, how are you? She's, and you know, it's a pretty face. And she said, hi, Daddy, I missed you. I say, I miss you too, darling. I told her, I'm so sorry, Daddy is so busy. I've not talked to you for nearly 2 weeks, you know. And she said, it's all right, Daddy. I always know you love me. Oh, that will melt Annie's daddy's heart. And the next thing she said, Daddy, it's all right. You don't talk to me now. Also, never mind. She's a very wholesome girl. I don't think she's saying, get rid of me, you know. Very wholesome. In fact, I spent 1.5 months with her in the States. Stayed with her, with mom and the other sister. Didn't preach anywhere. Just to spend that time with us, with her. I told her, I'll do anything you want me to do. You just want me to sit there in the house, just spend time with you. I will do that. Ministering to her. You see, and during those weeks of silence, she was able to be strong. Then I opened my mouth and said, I heard you got a boyfriend. Is it true? You know what she said? And every daddy want to hear that. Daddy, there's going to be no boyfriend in my life until they pass through your rod. Ah, I feel so happy. Right, Pastor Dom? Amen. I said, that's my girl. I told him about you, and he panicked. Yeah. Wholesome. 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 I believe that is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life today. If you want to be a great worshiper, then you have got to be wholesome. Are you with me? See a big amen. If you want to serve God, you have to be wholesome. It has everything to do with the silence of God. The silence of God does not mean God endorses everything you do. You must make sure you are not only pursuing a future, you must pursue divine destiny. Let me ask you a question. Are you sure what you're doing right now is not Ishmael? Or are you sure it is really Isaac? Are you sure what you're doing right now is in the perfect will of God? Are you sure the relationship that you're having right now is by divine design? Not because age is catching up or you can't control your hormones anymore? Are you sure? But God did not say anything to me. Well, you are hearing me today. I'm reminding you, the silence of God does not mean that God endorses anything I or you say. We need to come to a place of wholehearted worship and seeking of the Lord. And for that to happen, we need to have a wholesome life. And everybody say a big amen. Stand up to your feet, please. Hallelujah. In the next 2 days, Pastor Dom and myself are going to spend time praying for as many of you as possible. But I just sense tonight in this service, there are people here as I was speaking. You begin to realize that there are situations. It's not necessarily negative. There are situations and there are issues in your life that you know have somehow kept your growth and kept your experience with God. I want you to know El Shaddai is here. God wants to nurture you. God wants to milk you. God wants to feed you. God wants to touch you. God wants to embrace you and hold you close to His heart and give you that security and give you that strength again in your life. If you are those people that I'm talking about, I want you to lift up your hands right now. All the way up. I see guys, I see ladies. I want you to quickly walk out of your seat and join me at the front right now, because we're going to pray for you first. Come right now. Praise God. Hallelujah.